Here we go. Blair, I know you know who Public Enemy is. You rock. That song right there, you walked down the aisle to, harder than you think, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I was in middle school when Public Enemy was getting rocking and rolling, you know? Public Enemy came out at the same time that grunge Nirvana era was all paralleled with each other.
No. They were a little bit before. Public Enemy was mid-80s, I want to say.
Mid-80s?
Yeah, mid, but well
old
into
the
90s.
How old do you think 90s. I am, Mo? Mid-80s, I was six.
That don't mean nothing. I'm going to introduce Blair and his friend, who is now our friend, in just a little bit. But you know Blair. He's been on here many and many a time. He's as they say in the organization, he's a friend of ours.
But first, with brown paper bags.
Brown paper bags, always. But first and foremost, Mike, dude, don't dare put that shrimp and grits in your mouth when I'm about to ask you how you sticking. How you sticking, Spike?
I'm stuck trying to eat this doggone thing with a fork. Somebody brought me some soup with a fork.
First and foremost, it's not soup. It's shrimp and grits in a tomato-based...
Tomato gravy. Shrimp and grits with tomato gravy.
Where are the grits?
Fried, right there, the grit cakes are fried.
Yeah, that's
here from Lake City. You never had fried grits,
dude. I'm sorry, I thought it was a
Cuban toast.
Serious?
You're supposed to dip the grits in the tomato.
If you knew it was grits, I thought it was Cuban toast or some kind of toast.
I figured you from Lake City, you would know what fried grits are. You never had fried grits before.
I got to be honest with you, Blair. When it first came out to me at your restaurant, I thought it was bread too.
Yeah, really?
I didn't realize that was the grits for it. I was kind of like, Spike, where the grits at?
Soaking in some tequila. Right there.
And that is awesome that we're going to be introducing him. And he brought tequila. And he makes tequila. He bottles it, distills it, and we're going to find out everything that he does. But yes, I can understand. So okay. Fried grits, is that a regional? Hold on. Yeah. Are you done with how you sticking? Mm-hmm. All right. Fried grits, is that a regional thing?
No, I mean, it's a poor man thing.
Because, explain it. Give it, bring
so,
it.
So,
poor,
so,
poor
so,
man.
Yeah. So shrimp and grits, I mean, this recipe here is really from my great-grandmother. So I was very fortunate as a kid. My great-grandmother lived with me for 8 years.
Right. She did live with you.
Yeah, lived with me. So okay. I mean, she was in her I was in the mid-80s. She was in her 70s.
Right. Okay.
You know, I'm 6, yeah. 7, 8 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah.
And fortunately, wake up, she cooked breakfast, lunch and dinner for all of us.
Okay.
And but she came from the Great Depression era. I mean, she was, you know, I think she was born in like 12, something like that.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? So she came through.
You get in them
one,
you get in them ones. Yeah, I mean, nobody was having fun born in them ones.
Now, she was a daughter of a sharecropper preacher out of Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And but every Monday morning she made a big pot of loose grits and made tomato gravy. So we had grits and tomato gravy. That was a staple in our house.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't waste anything. Those grits, whatever were left over, got put into a cast iron sheet pan, put into the refrigerator. And then the next morning she would cut the grits and pan fry them. And whatever protein we had from dinner the night before, she would saute up, put into the tomato gravy, and that's what we ate. Our goal was to eat all the grits and gravy by Wednesday so we could have something different for breakfast on Thursday.
Right, right. I get it.
So I was not a small boy growing up, I can tell you that.
Yeah. And Spike, now that you know that the grits, now that you got them properly dipped.
Yeah, it works. Right, now I know
absolutely.
What it is, yeah.
A staple, one of the mainstays at any of the five, it may be eight by now, iterations of what I know and what I love the best because it's right near my house, is the Florida Cracker and Fish Company.
Correct. Yes, sir.
I got it right, didn't I?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Florida Cracker and Fish off of Ehrlich and Gunn, which, by the way, and I'm going to just tell you this because I was just talking about it with him off the air, has one of the most fantastic breakfast situations on a Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
That from 8 until?
8 until, I think, 1.
When you run out,
brunch,
when you run out, yeah.
Have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much a cooked breakfast all day, but usually 8 to 1 is ways we got that brunch nice. Going. Saturday,
which, and you
Sunday.
Can get catfish, too.
Well, that's actually one of our best sellers, catfish eggs and eggs and grits.
You ever have catfish for breakfast, Mike?
Fried catfish.
Who hasn't? Okay. I mean, before we get any further, I want to go back to you. You said this is a poor man's meal, a poor man's
That's what my great grandmother called it because, you know, she grew up poor. You always had tomatoes, you always had bacon grease, you always had onions.
Right.
And flour. So that's right. How you make tomato gravy.
So being a poor man that I am, what the cuss word is this?
That's a green onion.
A green onion. Spike.
Green.
Are you from this country?
I thought it was a celery.
Oh, my God.
I want you to bite into that like it's celery.
What am I supposed to do with this?
I want you to give me the whole entire meal, and I'm taking it back from you, Spike. I'm taking it back.
So this is an onion.
It's an onion stalk. Green onion stalk.
It's an environmentally friendly spoon.
Yes. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Austin.
Y'all highfalutin poor people. I ain't never seen this. An onion. I was like,
No, we're not, because all you got to do is buy six of them, and you cut it off, and you put the base back in the ground. It grows. You buy one, and you have it for life.
There you go. There you go. Poor people's food right there.
That's right.
Yeah, one will feed you for the rest of your life right there.
Poor people food. They give you orange shavings on the side. I got you.
Before we continue, so I can make sure I bring them in fully into the conversation, Austin, you are go.
Yeah, let's go, babe. Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, really, absolutely.
I appreciate it. My name is Austin. I'm the co-founder of Southbound Tequila. You know, my great-grandpa, he was a moonshiner in the hills of North Carolina. It's only fitting that I'm in the booze business now.
Right. Like, you're talking legit moonshiner, right?
Yeah.
Where you could get hauled away. Well, you still can, but, you know.
I think there was a lot of warnings on the back of his label. It wasn't good stuff.
He
was a hard man. He was very hard. The only story I remember that my dad told me is
pull that mic right in front of you. Yeah, there you go. You can pull the mic. Yeah. The mic stand or whatever you want. Yeah, you can pull it. There you go.
There we go.
Perfect.
So my dad walks out. My great grandpa's on the back deck. He's got a pocket knife and a bottle of whiskey. Dad says, What are you doing? He goes, I got a toothache. Cuts out his own tooth. That's the kind of people that were making moonshine.
When they were men.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Where did he grow up? Where did he grow up at?
Yeah, North Carolina.
They have no dentist in North Carolina.
They were eating poor people food and doing their own dentistry. So.
That's why you had to cut out your own tooth, because you were breaking it off of a green onion sauce.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I thought it was celery. Cut it out. Take the knife and cut it on out.
Man, but you dip it in whiskey. It's good.
Were you around him at all?
You know, very late in life. I don't remember much.
I was little. I got you.
I just hear stories.
Do you feel like your father absorbed a lot of his personality, his upbringing, his style?
Both my grandparents were just simple people.
Right.
Lived in Crystal River.
And that's not a negative term.
No, it's not a negative.
I'm just making sure people understand that. Simple people are some of the best people.
They were humble.
Right.
I guess that's a better word, but didn't have much. They were both in various industries, didn't have much. And my grandma didn't have a driver's license, whole life.
The whole life?
Whole life. Yeah.
Wow.
So but she probably didn't have anywhere to go.
Nowhere to go. But she served people.
He didn't want much. You know? He just enjoyed living right there, right?
Yeah. And at her funeral, I'll never forget, I got up and spoke. 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Packed church.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking standing room only. And 60% of those in attendance, she had met within the last 3 years. She just gave and gave and poured into people.
Right.
Cooked food, you know, and you could tell there was love and passion in her food.
Right.
And how she treated people, I think, certainly influenced my dad and 100% influenced me.
Right. So you have you're with her long enough to accrue a lot of great memories with her, I'm assuming.
She was a woman of grace and generosity. She passed along her crab cake recipe, which my dad has taken on. That's his legacy piece for her and her cookie recipe. So if you ever go to my dad's house, it's crab cakes and cookies.
Crab cakes and cookies.
He doesn't deviate much. There's not a lot of creativity, but he crushes those crab cakes and cookies.
All right. Fair enough. We are going. And you ended up in the tequila business.
I did. So in 2014, I started a kombucha business.
Right. Go backwards. What was your upbringing? You go to college? You go to school? What was your first jobs? Give me some of your jobs. Give me a little bit behind the man, Austin.
Man, I've done just about anything. I mean, sold everything under the sun. Sold dry cleaning. Sold cars. Mm-hmm. Just tried to figure it out.
While you were trying to find your way.
Trying to find my way.
Find your way where, by the way?
Out here. So I was born and raised in Tampa.
Okay.
Third generation.
Okay. All right.
Always knew from a very early age I was an entrepreneur.
Right.
I didn't know what that meant, but I knew I wanted to create my own business.
You knew you wanted to work for yourself.
I was a terrible employee everywhere I went. I mean, Blair, you would hate me if I worked for you.
I'm the same way, by the way.
All right.
We're unemployable at this point.
Yeah, right.
So these businesses got to work.
So what was the first thing that you did that you said, okay, I like this. I might stick with this for a minute.
Yeah, so I was big into the health and fitness.
Right, right.
I found kombucha, which is like a probiotic tea.
Right.
And started making it out of my apartment. Had a tiny little studio apartment, made that, sold it to friends, sold my first case, called my dad, said, hey, sold my first case today. He goes, how much did you make? I said, I think I made $30. He goes, go get a job.
That what we call a dream snatcher.
Yeah.
Snatching your dream.
But then I got into Publix. So I got the kombucha
into Publix.
I got the kombucha into Publix. We went from 500 stores around the Gulf South to 2,000.
Okay. Now, there's a big leap there. How did you go from making $30 on a case to getting into Publix?
Man, we got only
a brown bag.
I think we only got 2 hours.
Yeah, give me the bullet point. You stuck with it, obviously. Did you acquire a partner? Did you some financing? Or
put it on the shelf and people start buying it?
Yeah. You go on Shark Tank? What happened?
I just hustled.
You hustled?
I just hustled.
And that led you into being in Publix. Now, at any point, did you go back to your dad and slap him? At any point, just tell me you did.
Then he's just started buying it. This must be a real thing.
Were you one of the first people in the kombucha game, or it had already kind?
It was around and sort of the underground. It was pretty early,
right?
I would say. So when we approached Publix, there were two brands. They put us and another brand in, so a total of four.
Okay, and you were selling?
Yeah. Okay. I sold it. I built a manufacturing plant, had no idea how to do
what?
That.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we had 50 employees, bought a bottling line that cost more than my house. This thing was bigger than this room.
Right.
Just figured it out.
Right, figured it out.
Yeah.
And how long did you ride with that, or are you still with that?
That was 8 years. I sold that business.
8 years.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you sold it for a nice little tidy profit.
I did pretty good.
Get out the man's pockets.
Nah, man, it's all about the pockets. I can't prop them up if I don't know if the pockets swole or not, Spike.
Just like his dad. Dream snatcher.
That's right. I'm all about the pockets better be swole. And so you sold it because you had a good offer, or you sold it because you wanted to now do something else?
So going back to my dad, because he's a big influence in my life. He raised money for USF for 30 plus years. There's a scholarship in his name.
He
helped build the athletic program. Very impressive person.
Okay.
But
what's his name?
And as
Ron Sherman.
Ron Sherman. Yeah.
And as humble as could be. If you met him, I mean, the first time I met Ron, I remember Austin, I took him to play golf, and he goes, can my dad come along? Can he ride?
Right.
Sure. Well, he brings his golf clubs. He starts playing. By the end of the round, he's everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
And he's 70-something years old and whips all of our tails.
Okay.
Right. And Blair, by the way, showed up with a big old knife on his holster playing golf at a nice golf course. So, wow, that's a first.
Where does Blair not show up with a knife on it?
Hey, just in case a wild boar comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
We got somebody for that.
Yeah. The first movie you ever saw was Crocodile Dundee. And it still stuck with him. So you say now you want to go into from the kombucha. You say, what are you going to do with the money?
Yeah. So you asked why I sold it. I wanted to move back home. So I started that business in New Orleans. I wanted to go somewhere else I wasn't in my dad's shadows, because I was always, hey, you're Ron's son.
Right.
So worked my way from nothing. I mean, I'm talking, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. Built that business.
I still don't. It's not about me, but go ahead.
So built that business just one case at a time.
Right.
But then I wanted to come home to spend time with my family. And that's why I sold it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And now jump ahead. There may be things in between. Mm. But right now I'm looking at a bottle. Turn the bottle around for me, please. Let me look at the label. And that is Southbound Tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see where we are in time here, because I don't want... You know what? Let's go to break, and then we're going to come back. And Blair, you have a couple of things that we're going to be talking about with you, a couple of things going on. First and foremost, coming up this Wednesday, talk to me about it real quick.
Oh, we got the Florida Man Songwriters Retreat, and we're doing an old-fashioned guitar pull at the Tap Room. And, you know, it's going to be, we're bringing Nashville back to Florida and playing in Brooksville.
All right. And I want to tell you about the country song I wrote. And I have to find, if I can't find these lyrics, I'm going to be so sad. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mo.
Hey.
Just so you know, poor people only slap your daddy once. You don't beat.
That's funny. Poor, you heard that, right? Poor people only slap. Are you saying because the daddy slapped back? Is that what you're trying to imply? All right. Thanks, Mike. All right. We'll be back. Don't go. We're going to find out about Southbound Tequila, and we're going to find out about the guitar pull. I thought it was you pulling guitars with tractors.
We can do that, too. That ain't
a problem. It's a cat named Mo on 102.5 The Bone. Now.